Well, I did start reading your dissertation, and
that's the last copy I sent.
This is the last copy you sent
me. Okay.
Yeah, but it's going to take me a while, probably 2-3 more days.
It's fine. Yeah, it should be okay by the end of the week or beginning of the next week. I think it's. I have to send it by end of next week, I think. So, I just wanted to let you know about the changes that I made to the stacking theory, right? So basically, one of the things that I added is that I added
my eyesight is getting worse by the day. I don't know.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, but nowadays I've gotten used, because earlier I would avoid wearing the glasses altogether.
But now I
do wear it more often, and I need it more often.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Okay, so essentially what I did is that I created four new subsets.
Okay.
Well, no, three new subsets, right?
Mm.
So basically we said, we defined accessor, mutator, and generator properties, and then I said that they generate, each of them have a formal set that defines them, right? So if the set AK is not empty, then we say that that extension has that property and so on, right?
Okay.
And those sets are mutually exclusive.
Okay.
Right. So portions of the volume could be in either of those sets, but not in one. Sorry. Individual IOs could be in one of them, but not in
K is an IO or a
K is an extension.
So individual extensions can have only one of those properties.
No. They can have all the properties.
Mm-hmm.
However, IOs, which are the components of this set, can be in either one of the three. But not in more than one.
That part, I don't quite understand.
Yeah, so basically you're saying that an IO cannot be, for one extension, an IO cannot be both an IO that was mutated and generated, for instance.
If an extension has a mutator and generator properties,
mm-hmm.
And the same IO could be mutated, and also it could generate additional IOs, right?
No, yes. But if it generates those additional IOs, if you generate additional IOs because of that IO, what's going to happen is that IO is going to be mutated, but the IOs that it generated belong to the generator set.
So K here is an IO, then?
No, those are extensions.
Okay, and
so basically what I'm saying is that
why are we talking about IOs?
Let me put it this way. So the output of K is defined as the union of these three sets, right? So what I'm doing is that I'm saying, okay, of the output of the extension, I'm going to specialize it and say, okay, which IOs were mutated, which IOs were generated, and which IOs were just accessed.
Okay, maybe if you go through I don't understand the motivation behind doing this, but
so the motivation behind this is that then I can infer a little bit more knowledge about some of the extensions, right?
Okay. At a per IO granularity.
At a per IO I can infer knowledge based on those sets that I define here.
Hmm.
Right.
So this is something new, because this goes a little, maybe in a different direction, or goes beyond what we discussed during your thesis presentation.
Goes,
right?
A little bit beyond, but the thing is that what we discuss is
just the same grid.
Is the same grid,
and saying which extension is not affected.
Yeah, but that what I was able to deduct was just for the example grid there. But for the rest, we cannot. For the example cell, for the rest, I couldn't deduct anything significant. But
here you could, for instance, say...
I mean, I could deduct the obvious, right? which extensions are effective based on the fact that they're dominant.
Right.
But that's obvious. That's
yeah, and we said that we can make a similar rules grid to deduct extensions that are not effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that.
And you're saying that's.
I gave it a lot of thought. I spent like 3 days thinking about it, and that was the only case where we can very clearly specify that an extension is going to be ineffective. For the rest, it's very, very hard to deduct anything.
And the reason that is the case, I think I understand what you're saying, but let me go through the thought process. So you're saying output of A, intersection of input of B is phi, which is that all the IOs are being diverted elsewhere.
Exactly. And
so shouldn't B be ineffective in all these cases?
No, because for instance, in this case, the input of A and the input of B are disjoint.
Are disjoint. So
disjoint.
So it doesn't matter what A does. B
exactly.
is going to be dominant.
Well, actually, in this case, both of them are dominant.
Both
over
are dominant
over their sets.
Over
they interact over different portions of
can
the
we say that because
these ones are easy, this column is fairly easy to deduct their behavior,
but you're saying that there is no, we cannot deduct ineffectiveness anywhere except there.
Yeah, because what happened there is that you have that the input of A and B completely, that the input of A is a superset of the input of B, and then what the output of A doesn't have anything to do with the input of B. So A is completely diverting the IO traffic that was originally going to B. So in that case, it's completely ineffective. In this case, what happened is that the input of them
there's an intersection.
There's some intersection in the input of A and B, and then the portion of the input that goes to A then doesn't have any overlap with the input.
So here you can, while you're saying A is dominant for all X member of input of A. And only if output of B this part is not clear.
Yeah, so the idea there, we put that there because what happened is that let's imagine that you have something like XS that diverges traffic to the SSD. And then you have another guy that adds a whole bunch of stuff to the SSD. Or to the disk, let's say to a disk, right? So the idea is that XS is putting moving a lot of IOs from that were originally going to a disk to the SSD, but then you have an extension that's completely altering the IOs and making IOs go to a lot of IOs go to the disk. So it's in effect rendering A ineffective.
No, here, actually, I don't see this clause. Why do we need the if and only if? Shouldn't A be dominant for all X is a member of input of A? Because the output of A will not overlap with the input of B.
Yeah, but the issue is that, our definition is of dominant if it's achieved its goal.
Right.
Right? So in this case, what the example that I put there...
Okay.
So since we have the extension below generating a lot of traffic, then A is not achieving its goal.
Okay. I see. I see. Okay, I see. That makes sense. And B dominates for all X of this nature. Because the output of A does not interfere with the input of B.
Yeah, it has some overlap, but it's not the whole thing.
And in this case, where the input of A is subset of the input of B.
Superset.
Is it? Yeah, superset. And here, output of A is a superset of the input of B.
No, output of A is subset there.
It's a subset, sorry. So we can't claim ineffectiveness anywhere else except here.
Yeah,
that's kind of very limited. So which is why you sort of took this extra step then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I took that extra step, and essentially what that allowed me is to infer some other things.
Because here I see only the... The reason I was a little confused was because you were talking about individual I/O operations and not domains.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
What you want to say here is about
portions
domains.
Of the domains. Here's what I'm saying, right? So okay. I'm saying that, for instance, if the whole output of B is just
an
access, I/Os that were just access, right, then A is also effective. What that means is that B essentially is just an accessor, right? So independently of which grid you, which place you, which cell you fall in here, if B is an accessor, then A is also going to be effective.
So here, where do you say that B is an accessor? You're saying output of B is an...
It's all just accessor I/Os.
So output of B is a domain.
Output of B is a domain, yes.
And
that domain is just composed of accessors.
So where is the? So you need some input domain as well, right?
Yes. But the
there
input
seems to be something missing there. I mean, because you're saying the output of B is a domain. Right?
Yes.
And you're saying so output of B is a domain and B is an accessor. And these two things are equal.
Basically what I'm saying, if when from
the
high level
the
point
other
of
issue
view,
is that B and A here is actually means for accessor and B is an extension. And so A
yeah,
or B
that's why I use this other type of
you're using
font.
A different font.
Yeah,
okay.
Things that I printed it.
I see.
In
yeah.
Drawing.
No.
It doesn't show. Well.
Yeah. Now I can see it. Okay. Let me go back here to understand what accessor of B really means. I don't quite understand that. This is the one, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So, accessor K. Then
I have a small paragraph here just explaining that.
Okay, let me see this. extensions will have one or more of these properties. Using such properties can further characterize extension behavior by specifying the output of an extension. Let K be an extension. OK will be the output of K. Right, we know that. Let AK, MK, and GK be the set of output IOs. Okay, so that were accessed, mutated, or generated by the extension K, right? Respectively. So instead of saying further, which means because you've already said these things.
Okay, yes.
So you don't
formally.
Need that. Formally, yeah. AK not equals phi implies. So this should be, I think this could be an implication.
Yeah, that's true.
K has the accessor property. K has the accessor property. AK, MK, and GK be the set of output IOs. So that were accessed. Okay, so if the set of output IOs that were accessed only, that were only accessed by K, is not empty, then K has the accessor property. By default, every extension will have the accessor property, right? Is every extension?
Yeah, usually they have they yeah.
For all IOs that mm-hmm. are incident on the input domain of that.
Yes.
Or any IOs that come into the extension
and don't get modified.
Yeah, even if they get modified,
yeah.
there would still be accessors.
Maybe
you're not defining it that way. How are you defining it?
Yes. So yeah, it's essentially that any IOs that come in and don't get modified.
Okay, only then it's an accessor. But
mm-hmm.
if they get modified, then it's no longer an accessor.
It's
no longer an IO that was accessed, but it's an IO that was mutated.
Exactly.
Okay, I see. And then the generator is IOs that generated other IOs, but then...
No. IOs that were generated.
That were generated.
That are not part of the input.
That were generated. Not part of the input. And this is true because you're defining in that way. I think that can be clarified that
okay.
accessors, as soon as an IO is accessed, mutated, then it's no longer accessed.
Mm-hmm.
In
yeah,
the,
okay. So all that
no
a couple of sentences there.
To the set of accessed IOs,
mm-hmm.
right, just to be clear. And then output of K is a domain.
Yes.
It's not a set of IOs because this is a set of IOs.
Yes, that's
so,
true.
And that's why I was confused
okay.
here as well as here, because you're saying if a domain is equal to a set of IOs, here also it's the same
mm-hmm.
issue.
That's true.
What do you, maybe if I understand this, I can have some suggestions. What are you saying?
Yeah, so the idea there is to say, well, in the first theorem is quite easy, right?
Hmm.
It just says that if an extension is only an accessor, extension B is only accessor, then A is also affected, right? That's more or less
yes.
what we had before. The other one has a little bit more nuances, right? So it says that if the output of A is a superset of the extensions of the IOs that were accessed,
hmm.
and the IOs that and the union of and you don't generate more IOs
hmm.
to the output of A essentially, or the input of A, then A is also affected. Right. So what I say there is that essentially you're letting. Essentially, I'm saying there.
Can't you replace this G of B with the output of B? Because the generated IOs will go to the output domain of B.
No, I can't.
No?
No. Because I only want to consider a subset. That's the issue. But I only want to, I want to see that, okay, the. I already saw that a big portion of those are accessors. So are IOs that you only access.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This could be empty, by the way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm essentially trying to say is that if you have an extension
mm-hmm.
that is on top of another extension
mm-hmm.
and the extension that goes below
mm-hmm.
doesn't influence what the extension above did in any way.
Hmm. Because all those were only accessors.
Exactly. Then this will also be affected.
Hmm. So then, maybe the way you can fix this is to say generator G of B is not the IOs,
but the domain.
But the domain, or the subset of the output domain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's better.
But
yeah.
The problem is then that you won't have this property. I don't know if any of those theorems rely on this property. Do you need this property? For your theorems to be valid?
No, I don't need it.
And then you would have something like A of K is a subset of O of K.
Mm-hmm.
Right, similarly for M of K and G of K.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then you can equate the way you're equating.
Okay.
Then here you would have...
Yeah, I would have to modify the theorems a little bit, because then I would have to specifically state that, for instance, here, that this is true, and MK and GK are empty.
Right.
I will have to, yeah.
So you can, instead of using this notation, what you can then do is O of K is of A union O of K is of B, M union O of K is of G.
Yeah, but then I use A for extensions too, and it gets complicated. Probably do something like access or something like that. Or I'll use two letters here for this set.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Okay. And then you can have this sort of an equation which would make sense.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because you're just subdividing the set in two parts.
Yes.
And by the way, this you don't have this anymore. Because O
uh-huh.
of K of A intersection O of K of M
may not be
empty.
Uh-huh.
Right? But if you're not using this in theorem proving, then it's fine.
Mm-hmm. No, it's fine. I guess that I have to state more things in the theorem.
Okay.
But that should be okay.
Okay, so then the first one, the way I understand now is if output O of B. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You cannot do this anymore.
Yeah, I will have to. Yeah, exactly. I have to add a few more things to it.
So if O of B intersection O of B of M equals phi,
mm-hmm.
and O of B of G equals 5. And this indicates that O of B only contains IOs that were, or all the IOs that go into O of B are only going to be accessed by B.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right, because these two are empty sets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to state it somehow like that. And probably the one below, I have to also modify it.
Is it O of B or is this going to be I of B? I'm not sure. Here.
No, it's output. It's O, I think. Yeah, because we just care about what B is.
Oh, sorry. Shouldn't this be O of A? No.
No. No, because we are there just
at this point only care
with what B is doing.
But what B is doing with respect to A's output domain,
with
right?
respect to A's output.
So shouldn't this be O of A instead of O of B?
Well, that's what I do later, right, in the next one. Because this one, I just want to state that if B is only an accessor.
Oh, then you can state it as, if instead of in the intersection, you don't even need intersection.
Yeah, you don't need intersection. You just have to say that those sets are empty.
Oh, those sets are empty, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the one below, I do need to put something like this.
Okay. All right. So you understand this.
Yes.
All right. So once you rewrite it, then I can review it again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So basically, are those two rules, and then the last one, which is the special rule for this one, saying that this guy is, you know, that B is ineffective in that case.
Okay.
Right. And yeah. And that was.
These two don't handle this.
No. These two don't handle that. Let me see. Probably.
Think about that. I mean, maybe after the rephrasing.
Yeah, probably they can. Specifically in this one, yeah. Probably they can handle it.
Yeah. Okay. So.
No. Actually, they don't handle it because they're arguing about different things. Right. Here we're arguing about effectiveness, and we're saying that A is effective, and here we're saying that B is ineffective. So this is the only case where we can safely state that an extension is actually ineffective. Right, which are different things.
Okay. Can we say, I mean, although we are saying under these conditions A is effective, can we also say that in other conditions A is ineffective? If these conditions are not met, then A is ineffective.
No,
can we
cannot say that.
No?
That's a very, very hard part. No. Because what happens then is that you get into the specific semantics of each extension,
of what B is doing.
And so you could have cases where it's true and where it's not, yeah. Exactly.
Where they are complementary and when they are not.
Yeah, and that's what's argued here in this case. That I mean, and the reason is that in this cases here, these two theorems what happens is that B is not altering in any way the behavior that A by itself would have. Right? But if B is altering that in some way, it could either be complementary or it could be completely changing A's behavior. And that is, it's hard to
reach. Let's go with the second. This is the only one that I don't know what it is. So
okay.
Don't go into the theorem, but just give me an idea.
Yeah, so like I said, so in the second theory, what we want to say is that from a very high level, B is not altering in any way what A did. Right.
Okay.
So, but what I exactly mean by that is that if you have IOs that are in the output of B, then and you want to make sure that the portion of the output of B that overlaps with either the input or the output of A. It's there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Right? It's disjoint.
But that's the first theorem.
That's the second theorem. Hi, honey. I'm in a meeting. Okay. So. Yes. The first rule is you can look at it as a subcase of the second theorem, actually. It's an observation of the second theorem.
So the second theorem is the main theorem.
It's the main theorem, yes.
Okay, so that could be a sort of a corollary or something like that.
Yeah.
Of a theorem.
Yeah, that's true.
Corollary,
yeah.
Corollary. Oh, how did I forget that? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll change that.
And then, okay, so you're saying there are other cases where without being generators or mutators, there are the output of B. So this corollary I understand. Okay, that's fine. But the main theorem, I mean, is there more than just the corollary?
Yes. Because what could happen is that you have part of the output of B that was mutated or generated and those don't match anything that has to do with A.
Hmm.
Right? They're completely,
completely disjoint.
Completely disjoint with any of the activity that A would do.
But isn't that what this first theorem is saying? I mean, the after you change the rephrases.
I would have to check. No, because the other one is a lot more powerful. Because this is, like I said, this is a particular case where B is only an accessor.
Okay.
But the other case, B doesn't have to only have the accessor.
No, even
property.
In this case, B is... Okay. I see. So, and then you're saying that even if B is a generator or mutator...
Mm-hmm. There are some cases where A will also be effective. Always.
That's where you bring in, you actually intersect output of B where the IOs are mutated with the input and output of A.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so this one is, it would be a corollary.
Mm-hmm. So what I'll do is that I'll put the main theorem first, and then I'll put the other one as an observation on this one.
Okay.
Okay, but yeah, also I'll modify this and send it to.
So that's the main change, right? And then
this is the main
future
change.
Work,
and future work, that section is completely new.
Okay.
Or is, where is that? This is something else. No, it's after this. How could it be before this? Here.
Afterwards, I think.
So this is from yesterday. So it has. So future work is basically what I said on the presentation. So I argue that most of the current systems are this way, but this has some drawbacks. And then if we switch to either of these architectures, there are some other things that we can benefit from, and then I go on to address two of those, three of those challenges that we could address in the future. Yeah, one, two, and three, because each paragraph is a different challenge. Yeah. So those two are the major changes. There are some other minor changes now and then, but all those are minor.
Okay. And you actually made those corrections before you send.
Yeah. Like I said, I printed this yesterday, and
okay.
I think and made a whole bunch of corrections and. Yeah, this is why it has this whole bunch of all these pages are corrections and stuff.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay. Sure. No problem. All right. So, do you want to talk about the past paper now, or you want to talk about it on Thursday? Maybe here on Thursday again. You want to do that because I know it's late.
No. Yeah. We can talk about it now.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So let me do the following. Hold on. Let me.